Welcome to our final week in our series, Mood Swingers. And, you know, there is a process that I always go through when I think about what it is I'm going to preach about. I try to plan it out. I think of different conversations I've had with some of you. I pray about those things. But I have to have a confession today. Quite frankly, this series has been one that is just mainly because of what God has been pressing in on me. God has been talking and speaking to me about my mood, my attitude, my feelings, my emotions surrounding lots of different things. And hopefully you can relate to that, but if not, thank you for joining me for my four-week therapy session and allowing me to vent a little bit. But you know, I do want you to know, and I want to share that, you know, there are these things in each of our lives. And this one in particular is something for me that, you know, there's these struggles. There's these things that just feel like they're continually coming back and back. These issues in our life that, man, I haven't beat it yet. I haven't navigated this one yet. And sometimes as a Christian, it can be really frustrating when we're looking around and we're saying, I've been here before. I've had this conversation, this prayer with God before, and I still haven't moved forward with it. If you're feeling that way in this area or another, understand that you're not alone in that. And I've been, as I've been contemplating kind of our series and talking about these moods, I've been thinking about Paul and how he shared that he had this, you know, kind of thorn in the flesh. He had this thing that constantly nagged him and bothered him. Many people have different interpretations of what that might be. But if you read some of his writings, he sounds like he's kind of depressed sometimes too. So maybe it was just kind of the same thing. His mood, his emotions, his feelings, I'm not sure. But this is the world that we live in, is this weird place where we're redeemed. We know that God is bringing everything back into order the way that he wants it to be, but it's not quite here yet. We know that God has forgiven us of our sins, but we're still sinners and we still struggle through these things. We're healed from the consequences of sin, the eternal consequences of sin, but we're still in the middle of it, and we still look around us and we still have these struggles that we're pushing through. And so sometimes, even when I was sharing the last several weeks, I was saying things like, hey, you know what? If you do this, then your mood will change, and you want your mood to change, and God wants your mood to change. And then sometimes it's like, oh, but I'm still not feeling it. And this is the struggle that sometimes we have to work through. I have been looking for the past 4 weeks for that, like, kind of silver bullet, that magic formula, that one Bible verse that just like gets it and it opens up the, like, it just kind of unlocks everything. And then if I read that one, if I figure that one out enough, then it'll all be easy and simple and I'll have this mastered. And I've yet to find it. Okay? But this is what we do, is we struggle through and we persevere and we encourage one another on. And we know that we're redeemed, but it's still not fully yet. That Jesus has saved us, but it hasn't 100% come to pass yet. And this is the world that we're in. And of course, we have lots of things and reminders that keep us focused on those negative things. But we continue on and we press on today and we say, God, help me with my mood, help me with my attitude, help me with my spirit, God, fill me up with something new. So we continue that conversation on today. But if you are somebody like me that you'd say, you told me 4 weeks ago that you were just going to give me the answer for joy, and come on, dude, I'm still waiting for it. That's where we struggle through, and that's where sometimes we're at. And that struggle is real. But I do want to remind you of two things that I truly believe with all of my heart that are the foundation of this series and our conversation is that my mood is my responsibility. And it is. It's something that is my responsibility to think about, manage, work on. And if it's your thorn in the flesh as well, if it's something that you struggle with, if there's ups and downs in your life that you haven't figured out how to manage, it's still something that God is saying, how can we work on that? What can we do? And then secondly, that God wants me to be of good cheer. That God desires me for me to be filled with joy, filled with his presence, filled with his spirit, and be a person of joy. I believe those things, and I want to remind you of those today. But as I was thinking about that idea of my mood is my responsibility, I want to clarify a bit, okay? I want to clarify a bit. Of course, there is out there all kinds of different things that can affect our mood. There's all kinds of different circumstances, all kinds of people around us. And there are definitely biological, physical things that are taking place that are a factor. There are people that, yes, have more of a propensity towards being down or those mood swings. There is a difference between our temperament. We're not all the same. My wife is even keel. She gets up at the same time every day. She goes to the bed at the same time every day. And if her weight fluctuates, it's about 3 pounds. She may be like, I ate a little meal, I'm up a little bit, and then I'm down a little bit. And she's like steady Eddie. And she just like kind of like her parents both lived in the same town their entire life from the time they were born to now. And both sets of their parents, Elisa's grandparents, are in that same town for all of these years. They've lived in the same house. Both of Elisa's parents worked the same job right out of high school, right out of college, and worked that entire job and had the same routine and both retired from that same job in the same town, in the same place, looking at the same people every stinking day. Unbelievable. And my wife, this is kind of who my wife is. And I think God paired her up with me a little bit because I'm a little anxious and I'm a little unsettled and I like to move and I like to do stuff. And there's been many times in our marriage I come home and I just got a little look in my eye and my wife is like, what in the world you got going now? What's the next plan? Okay? And she kind of reins me in and she balances me out. There's different temperaments, different people, and God created us different. And that's something we should celebrate and something that we should embrace, and that's okay. And if there are some physical factors that affect your mood, and if you need to go to the doctor and talk to the doctor about those things and manage those things in that way, that doesn't make you a weak person. Maybe your temperament is different, and this is one of the areas that is going to be more of a struggle for you. And it's okay, like Tim talked about last week and Hannah talked about, to go to a counselor, go seek help, these things. Sometimes take medication for things like this. And that is okay, all right? But God still, I still do believe that our mood is our responsibility. But we need to remember kind of some of these other factors, and also that mood is really a response. And what I'm talking about with responsibility is our response, okay? So our response is really what our mood is, right? How we respond to the things going on around us. How you respond to the temperament that how God made you, okay? And how you respond to those factors. How you respond to the culture and day that you live in right now. That is what is your responsibility. Is how you respond. And so many times, maybe we get caught up in a lot of things that are beyond our ability to respond to. Our response. Our response, of course, doesn't mean that we can control all of those other factors, all of those things that swirl around, the temperament that God made us in particular, you know, those types of things. But we should respond. We need to respond. And you know what's interesting? As I was dwelling this past week on my responses, how I respond to, you know, factors and things around me, it really kind of dawned on me that this is really the heart of our relationship with God in total. How do we respond to the world that God created? How do we respond to what God has given us? There's a couple of pictures in Scripture that I want to look at. I want to look at two pictures, and I want to put them up against one another. And let me kind of set it up first before I read the passages of Scripture. But I want you to think about it in pictures, okay? I want you to think about it kind of as an image. Two responses to circumstances going on. How do we respond? And before I get into all the details, I want to give you kind of the end response, all right? The first person walks away from encounter with God with great wealth, power, and authority. That first person does. The second person walks away from an incredible encounter with God with absolute poverty and no, like, social status or position whatsoever. Now, with just that information, no jumping ahead, no cheating. Okay, I'm looking at you cheaters if you're already thumbing through your Bible. Cheaters, okay? Without any other information, which one of the two would you expect to be in good cheer? Now, this is not a trick question. Don't overthink it. You know, just based on that data right there, who would you anticipate and expect to be of good cheer? The person with wealth, power, and all these different things, walking away from an encounter with Almighty God, or the person in absolute poverty with no social status, walking away from an encounter with the Almighty God? Raise your hand if you think it would be the person of status and wealth. Raise your hand, okay? If you're not raising your hand, come on. I tried to set that up. No trick questions. This is what should be. The person with a better lot, a better circumstance, a better, like, all those things that are somewhat out of our control, a little bit out of our control, the circumstances around us. There's one person in a good situation, things are going well, and one that is bad. But of course, you can kind of follow my logic here. I'm sure it will, and we'll read the Scripture. Some of you tried to jump ahead and kind of figure out the little trick I was playing on you, but we'll go ahead and read it. First one, here's the actual story. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" This is Matthew 19. "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied, "There's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which one?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't give false testimony. Honor your father and mother, love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. He went away what? Sad. Why? Because he had great wealth. Interesting. Acts chapter 3, second picture. I want you to kind of hold these pictures, hold these images. Think about them in your head. Think about the scenario. Think about these people. Second picture, Acts chapter 3. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, 3 p.m. Now, a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate, called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg for those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he looked at them. He asked them for money. Then Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking his right hand and helping him up, he instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet, began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. All right. So he went walking and jumping and praising God. What a picture. Okay. Walking and jumping and praising God. Now, stop for a moment and just reflect. Remember the two pictures. And if you didn't hear all of the story that went into it before, like, just think about the two people's situation. They're two people walking away from an encounter with the Almighty God, and one of them is completely sad and downcast and still has a lot of money and a lot of good things going for him and a lot of power and authority and all these things. And the other person is ecstatic and is still poor. Okay? Is still poor. And it's interesting because they're both walking away. They both have this opportunity encounter, but they have such a different response. They have such a completely and totally different mood. There's something that is just completely and totally puzzling to me. And this is something I've seen universally across the board, is that there is not a good equation between my circumstance and what I have and my job promotion and my financial well-being and all these things and my mood. And it doesn't make any sense. Because my whole life, I've always assumed and I've always kind of like pursued, if I have this worked out, I will be in a better mood. And it's not true. And I've seen it in all kinds of cases. And the most miserable society on earth might just be the most wealthy society on earth. And I don't get it. And I don't have an answer for it. And I'm not saying, you know, like it would be better off to be in a third world country or something like this. But I've gone to places and hung out with people and seen joy that they didn't have amongst people that had nothing. And it was confusing. And I just don't get it. And so if you see these two people, maybe you look at and focus in on all of the details that led up to the story. But really the difference is one person was in a position that was worse and it got a little bit better. One person was in a good position and maybe it got a little bit worse. It didn't really have to do with any of the circumstances. It just had to do with the little bit of a change. It had to do with that response. There's so many times we look around at the world and we want to like ask questions of God. Why? Why is there inequality? Why is there injustice? Why is the world as it is? And it's so interesting how we in our world, we think about these things so much, maybe because that's what we're consumed with. We're consumed with this will make me happy. Guess what the most miserable place you can possibly be is? When you get everything you have and it's still empty inside. That's the most miserable place. That's where it is. Because you have no excuses. You can't look around and say, hey, it's because I don't have money or I don't have a job. You can't look around and excuse anything. It's just all you're left with is yourself. That's it. And that's the worst place. And that's the worst mood. And more I talk to people and how unfortunate it is that it doesn't matter what position or station or whatever they are in their life, there's this despair. And there is sadness. And people walk away from church services like this downcast. And I have too. And it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So, what is it? What is it that changes? Really, it's our response. It's our response. And if I could sum up the gospel in the simplest of ways, and this is a big statement, maybe I'm overblowing this a little bit, but remember, I'm not a steady eddy person. I'm a little bit up and down, so allow me a little bit of hyperbole now and then, okay? If you want like a mild answer, go talk to my wife. She'll give you a mild answer. But really, if you want to say, what is our response to God? What is our relationship with God? What is the meaning of it all? How do we know if we're in a spiritually good place in our relationship with God? You could really boil it down to, what mood are you in? What mood are you in? You could really boil it down to that. And let me try to explain it a little bit more. What mood are you in? Are you walking away from what God has given you, granted you, the opportunities, the graces, all the things that God has given you? Are you walking away sad? Or are you walking away jumping and leaping and praising God? How are you responding to that encounter with God? Because you know what? When it all boils down to it, this is God's world. This is the life he gave you. This is how it is. That your situation is different than others. Yours might be better than most, but it might be worse than others. But this is what it is. And that really is irrelevant to the happiness conversation. How do you respond to God, your life? God gave you this life. God gave you these opportunities. God gave you this. How have you responded to this? How have you responded to all of it? I remember one of my earliest memories. And this is a story that has been told and retold in my family a number of times. So I don't really know if it's my earliest memory or just my earliest memory of a story that people have told me. But I really feel like it's something that I can kind of picture in my mind. My third birthday, okay? Anybody have memories when you're like 3 years old? I think this was my earliest one, third birthday. And everybody was over for Tyler's birthday party. And grandma and grandpa came, some other family members came to celebrate cute little precious Tyler John Hedick with his beautiful blue eyes and golden blonde hair. And my mom, in her wisdom, said before this party, Tyler, you sweet baby, just go and just take a little nap so that you're rested up and ready to go. So as I was sleeping, they prepared everything. The cake was there. What a glorious day it would be with the joyous, happy-go-lucky Tyler Hedick's third birthday. Okay? My mom woke me up, and maybe I didn't quite get the nap that I needed, but I was in a bit of a mood, okay? She woke me up, and she brought me down, and, you know, there's all the normal birthday festivities, the cake, the singing, all this stuff, and you come to the most important part, which, of course, is the presents, right? Come to the presents, and my grandma, my wonderful, sweet grandma, a saint, okay, gets me a present, and it's the first one that I open up. I open it up, and it's a pair of jeans, okay? And I was not in the mood, right? And my mom looked at me like parents do, and even though she probably noticed on my face, not like this thrilled, ecstatic look at getting clothes for my third birthday, she told me, she said, Tyler, what do you say, right? And I looked right at my grandma, and I said, I'm going to poop in them. That's what I told my grandma. That's what I'm going to do to your jeans. You give me jeans for my birthday, I'll get back at you. I am going to poop in them. And my mom was mortified, and she grabbed me and took me right up to my room. And I don't believe there was any more birthday presents that day. And I didn't, let's say, respond well to that gift. Pretty clever statement, though, right? I mean, come on. You got to give me a little bit of credit, all right? So, let me tell you, totally opposite. My nephew is a great kid. He's in high school, just started high school this year. He's in ninth grade. And every year, of course, we have gatherings. He has a birthday pretty close to mine. We have gatherings and give him a little present. And he, a couple of times, we've got him clothes. And he is the sweetest kid. He opens it up, and this is the kid that I always want to get presents for. Every time you get, it doesn't matter if it's something stupid, ridiculous. I think we've got him actually something that he already had. He opens it up, and he's such a nice kid. He opens it up, and he's like, oh, this is awesome. Thank you so much. You guys are great. Thank you for coming and celebrating my birthday. And it never fails. He's the best kid in the world to get birthday gifts for because he's just always so positive. He really, one time opened it and he already had one. He's like, this is awesome. I got two of these shirts now. So if one's dirty, I can wear the other one. This is great. Thank you guys so much. And hugs us and all this stuff. I'm like, maybe we aren't that closely related. I don't know. We have a little bit different responses. When I get clothes, I'm a little grumpy. So just in case you're thinking about, you know, some pastor's Christmas gifts or something like that, you might want to steer away from clothing. But think about the responses. Think about the responses. And think about how different, like, the two responses are. How awful it would be to give a gift to a kid that says, I'm going to poop in those pants, okay? I apologize. I'm just quoting, okay? It was me, but I am just quoting. And how great it would be to give a gift to somebody who's a welcome recipient. It's the response. And one person responds in one way, in these stories, and one person responds in a completely different way. One person responds and walks away with sadness. One person responds and walks away in joy. You know, I was listening this past week. I'd been checking out some different people who've taught on this subject. Again, trying to reclaim some sense, trying to get a handle on this for myself. And I came across somebody that was talking about burnout. And he quoted this and said, burnout really is demand placed upon you that exceeds the resources available to you. That this burnout and stress is demand placed upon you that exceeds your resources available to you. And there's been many times in your life that you felt like that. That what was asked of you exceeded your ability to produce. The resources, the talent that you had did not come close to handling what was demanded of you. It's kind of one of those moments that you have when we think about stuff like the earthquake going on in Mexico. And we say, let's gather some clothes and get some stuff together. And that's what we're doing this week. And I'm glad we're doing that. But I have these thoughts. I don't know about you. But I think, I don't have enough resources. I don't have enough to help that. I don't know. Yeah, I could scrap together a little bit of money and get some clothes and things like that. But in the end, I don't have enough resources for that. And maybe it's times like this where we've had a couple of hurricanes and all these things, and there's a bunch of asks of you back and forth, and it's like, I don't have enough resources for the demand that has been asked of me at this moment in time. And it leads to this feeling of burnout and quit and whatever, in the bad mood. But the reality is it's the response we make to God. It's the response we make to God. Our mood is our responsibility, but we're responding to what God has already given. We're responding to the grace that God has already offered. We're not responsible for making the earth spin around and for the sun to come up. We're not responsible for the fact that we can breathe in air every couple of seconds in our life. That's not what we're responsible for. We're responsible for the response to what has been given and offered of you. If you are burned out, stressed out, not in the mood, and unable to cope with things in your life, let me just ask you, is it like only your own resources that are available to you? Is that it? Is it only your time, only your efforts, only your talent, only your ability that is available to you? Because if we really are people of faith, burnout and this should not be an issue for us. Shouldn't be an issue for us. Because God promises us over and over in Scripture, what I have given you is enough. What I have given you is enough. Now, some people have it easier. Some people have it harder. But really, let's go back to it. It's really not that scale that moves the needle of whether or not we're in a good mood or not. It's really the response to it that matters. Two people have an encounter with the living God, have an opportunity for something supernatural to happen in their life. One walks away sad. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. Really rich guy, had a lot to lose, so to speak. And for 2,000 years, people have looked at his story and thought about how sad it was. How awful the decision he made at that moment in time where he just said, I'm walking away from Jesus Christ at this moment. This man, which we don't even know his name, maybe he would have been listed in Peter, James, John, maybe one of those types of disciples. Maybe he could have gone on an adventure of faith. Maybe he could have done something that impacted the world. Maybe he would have been one of the most influential people in the history of the world with... He was obviously bright and talented in all these things. And he walked away sad, and it was all of his stuff that caused him to be sad. I have this terrifying thought that I'm afraid that there might be a correlation between ease in life, like things coming simply, talent, money, and resources and ability, there might be a correlation between that and true sadness. There might be a correlation. And I'm not sure if it's exactly true. This is just me, okay? But I think there might be a correlation. We live in a time of despair and depression, and we live in a time of wealth. There's this weird paradox that there might be a correlation between the two. And the scripture gives us this picture and says that this is a sad figure. This is a sad person that had it all and had nothing. And this other person went from couldn't walk and now he can walk, but still is poor. That's the end outcome. Still really poor. How do you respond? How do you respond to what God has given you? How do you respond to the temperament or the person that you are? And it might be a struggle, and it might be difficult, and it might be a challenge. It might be your burden to bear. It might be that issue that you have to work through and struggle with, and I fully admit that. But our response is really all that matters. God has given you ample opportunity to follow. God has given you everything you need. God has given you all the resources that is necessary for you to come into a relationship with Him and to follow Him. This is the salvation story. It's kind of like, how do you respond? How are you going to respond to this? Do you walk away in sadness, or do you walk away with utter joy, looking at what God has given you? Oh my goodness. Look at all that God has given. Wow. Couple of things as well. I told you about the burnout, and I was listening to this message, and Pastor went through a couple points that were helpful for me, so I'm going to share them with you. If you don't like them, you can't blame me, because it's not my original stuff. So, here we go. Couple of checks that I'm going to try to implement in my life is, how do I check my mood? Is, first of all, you can capture your thoughts. Maybe you've heard it said before, but you can't really control, like, those thoughts that necessarily pop into your head in a moment. Maybe an image or something like that brings a thought that is a negative one or an impure thought. But as it's been said by many preachers before, you can't control a bird flying over your head, but you can stop a bird from making a nest in your hair, okay? You can take captive those thoughts. You can say, no, that's not the pattern that I'm going to continue to stay in. I'm not going to continue to mull over negative thoughts about myself, about others. I believe that God is good. I believe that that God is going to redeem me and the world. I believe that God is in control. And I'm going to respond to the things that God has given me in an appropriate way. And I'm going to have joy in my life. I'm going to take captive those negative thoughts. Sometimes they pop in, but I'm going to examine them and think about them and not allow all of these things to just continue to invade my mind and my thought patterns in my life. I'm going to take captive my thoughts. That's a check on how our mood can continue to be in the right place. You know what? If you don't have the words for it, open up the scripture. Read a psalm. Let somebody else's words of praise be your words if you can't articulate them yourself. I've been there many times. Maybe you need to sing a song that somebody else wrote because you can't articulate that positive feeling at that moment in time. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Do what it takes to change that thought pattern into something that is true, right, excellent, and praiseworthy. Think about these things. Take captive your thoughts. Check your continence. Again, another one. Not something we think about all the time, but really kind of our spirit. It's a weird thing. Look at all those little images up on the screen. Which one of those do you walk around with every day? Which one of those is your default? I don't like this because I have a little bit of a somber tone. I have a little bit of a stone face, and I would like to believe that that's just because God wired me to be a really good poker player. But the reality of it is sometimes I'm kind of in a bad mood. And we walk around, if you walk around like this, just sullen and down, and this is my continence, and I walk into every situation and mood, like this is, it's like life is a chore, it is depressing, I don't want to get out of bed, I don't want to talk to you, any little thing, it's like, I can't handle it. And if this is our continence, this is the spirit that we're portraying all the time, this is something that is telling of what's going on inside. And it's interesting how Scripture talks about, like, continent, this old school word that I don't even really have as a part of my vocabulary, is we need to have a spirit that resides with us that is filled with joy, and it should be something that overflows to, you know, the kind of attitude that we bring to a situation. Check your continence. Another check. Circulate what you need. And again, not my original idea, but the idea is that, you know, the blood in your body circulates throughout your body and actually circulates through your entire body in a matter of about a minute, that your the blood goes all the way throughout your body and it keeps everything going and clear and everything is circulating. And I don't know what anything else. Lori can tell you the rest later. But it's circulating in and out to give life to the body, oxygen, nutrients, all of these different things. If you are in a bad place, then try doing something for someone else. If you feel like you need a word of encouragement, try encouraging someone else. Try doing that. Try sending out and acting out and doing what you're looking for and seeking and needing. Try doing that. If you really feel like you need somebody to serve you in this moment, try serving someone else first. And when we do these things, it does something different to us. It changes our mood. It changes kind of where we are in life. Instead of looking around and sulking and saying how awful it is and nobody loves me, everybody hates me. Do something for others. Look to others. Send out what you're hoping to receive back. And it's pretty amazing how God changes our heart and attitude when we do that. Little checks in our spirit. But it really is something that is just, it's a precious gift and it's something I'm seeking and something that I hope that you find as well. If you can, like, as you're walking throughout your day, as you encounter people, if people could say, wow, that is somebody that has something different, unique. They're joyful. I feel better when I'm around them. What a gift. It's really how we respond to the grace, respond to the gifts that God has given us. If you're waiting for all those circumstances to change, you're going to be waiting a long time. But there's a point in time where we look around, and if we're people of faith and we believe this stuff, that God says, I've given you everything you need. That there should be a response of joy and praise and gratitude. Will you pray with me?